present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
Another mile across the glacier, the settlement is just round that black peak over on our left.
I thought we were never going to reach Tundra Bay.
It's 3 days by dog's day.
These motorized planes have speeded the journeys up considerably, Les. When I first came to Alaska in 1974, most of our time was spent in traveling.
Yeah, times have changed for the better, haven't they?
You can say that again, Tuma. Okay, so you have to be something of a mechanic when the sleigh breaks down. But it's a whole lot better than driving a team of dogs that will be just as happy to eat you as they would their regular food.
Is that a fact?
Sure. Lose control of the team, and boy, you're no more than a can of dog food. Visibility's getting poor, Tuma. Looks like we left Antica just in time. The glacier is no place to get caught in a blizzard, believe me.
The wind blows from the south. The spring thaw is coming.
Well, you could have fooled me.
Look out, Tuma! Watch that bump!
Hey, watch it, will you?
The spring's gone! Jump!
What the heck?
Jump, you fool! It's a crevasse!
I'm Dr. Leslie Moores, and I was doing my first tour of duty among the Eskimo settlements in northern Alaska. Old Doc Sloan, who had just retired, had been doing this job for 20 years before me, the last four with Sandra Davies as his assistant. In company with our Eskimo driver, Tumar, we were on our way to the most northerly settlement of all, Tundra Bay. Now, after weeks of traveling back and forth across the icy wastes, it was a stroke of bad luck that we should have an accident almost within sight of our final destination. Yes, bad luck. Really bad luck, as you'll soon find out. All three of us managed to jump clear as the motor sleigh hit a low, solid ridge and turned over. On the far side of the bump was a deep crevasse about 20 feet wide and stretching as far as the eye could see. Had we gone down there, well, you wouldn't be listening to me now.
How is it, Tumar?
Okay, I think. I'll have to repack the baggage, though, Miss Davis.
You're the expert at tying knots. I'll leave it to you. Hey, Liz! What are you doing over there?
Something's got me curious.
Oh, it's only a crevasse. You'll find hundreds of them all along the glacier. You just have to be careful you don't fall down them.
No. No, it's not the crevasse itself. Hey, look there.
Yeah?
In the opposite wall, about 20 feet down.
Hmm? Oh. I don't see anything special.
Come on, look closely.
Yeah?
There. You see it?
A shadow.
Oh, that's no shadow. It's a shape.
Uh-huh. Shape of what?
Oh, don't ask me. All I know is that there's something down there.
All right, I'll grant you that. So what?
So I'd like to know what it is.
Okay, so ask it.
Oh, come on, I'm serious, Sandra. Surely you can see the vague shape.
Oh, it's most likely a big boulder being carried along on the glacier. Nothing unusual about that.
I'd like to take a closer look.
Well, you can't. The sleigh will be ready in a minute, and we've got it.
The sleigh is ready to leave, Miss Davies. We have to travel a few miles south, maybe. I can't say how long this crevasse is.
Do we have a long rope, Tumar?
Yes.
Yeah, well, get it, will you? I want to climb a few feet down the crevasse.
Why? It's very dangerous.
Well, there's something I want to take a closer look at.
Les, I think you're wasting valuable time.
It won't take long. Get the rope, Tumar.
Hey, if you spend much longer down there, we'll all freeze to death.
Okay, you can haul me up now.
Right, you hear that, Tumar?
Yes, Miss Davies. I can manage the winch along.
Oh, easy does it, Tumar. Coming up nicely. Well, Liv, was it worth all the bother?
It sure was, Sandra. I'll tell you in a minute. Here,
huh?
Take my hand.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. That's better. Hey, I was beginning to feel like a fish on the end of a line.
Yeah.
Okay, you can stop winching, Tumar. I'm home and dry.
Strip and pack the winch, Tumar. Yeah. We'll be with you shortly. Right, Dr. Morris. What was so special down there?
Well, I can't be 100% certain, but I reckon I've seen something no man has ever seen before. Something really incredible.
Well, why the big suspense? What was it?
Well, I could only see clearly what looked like a hind claw and a part of a jagged tail. It's the frozen remains of some enormous prehistoric creature that must have gotten trapped and frozen to death millions of years ago.
But you sure?
Yeah. Some parts are clearly identifiable from 30 feet down. There's no doubt at all.
I've heard of perfectly preserved mammoths being found in Russian glaciers.
If this beast could be thawed out and preserved, I tell you, it would cause a sensation. A mammoth would be small fry by comparison.
Yeah, but what can we do about it?
Well, we radio back to base and pass the information on. A dime to a dollar, they'll send an expert up within a week.
As it happened, my radio message created more interest than I expected. Within 4 days, a team led by Professor Andrew Pine had been flown in. When I showed them the site, the crevasse was wider.
I see that the photographs you took yesterday have stimulated you to even greater efforts, Professor.
Combined with the sensor soundings, yes. Whatever it is down below us has a bulk of, to explain it simply, the bulk of 10 fully grown elephants.
Wow. So it's not a mammoth?
Oh, most definitely not. From what little evidence we do have at hand, I'd say it is something reptilian.
You mean a big snake?
No. We can clearly see through the ice a scale-covered claw and the tip of a saw-edged tail.
You mean it could be a dinosaur?
Yes, quite possibly, my dear. We're drilling through the ice to get a tissue sample. Once we have identified it, then my team will cut through the ice and reveal it for physical inspection.
Yeah, but won't it go rotten?
Oh, no. Besides, an embalming unit is flying in tomorrow morning.
Morning, Professor.
Good morning, Dr. Moores.
You're up bright and early, Sandra.
Oh, I don't want to miss anything.
I've just been watching one of your fellows. He's taken a sample of tissue.
Yes, Rattigan. He'll be reporting in a moment. I didn't get much time to say it yesterday, Moores, but I must thank you for promptly reporting your find to us. Oh, we'll make the Russians look silly with their frozen mammoths, eh? We have something down there that's a whole lot older. A creature that has... Rattigan. That was quick.
It's very interesting, sir. But I think I should speak to you privately.
No nonsense, Rattigan. Speak up.
Very well, Professor. The tissues are of the reptilian order. The creature had a tough, bony hide, 33 centimeters thick.
33 centimeters?
And below that is a fatty white flesh, low in salt content.
Yes, which proves it was a land-based animal. Probably drowned and quickly frozen before deterioration set in. Any idea what it could be, Rattigan?
Well, sir, if its bulk is anything to go by, and looking at the evidence of the claw and tail that can be seen through the ice, I could be very dramatic and suggest we have a specimen of Tyrannosaurus rex.
Tyrannosaurus rex? Oh, no, that would be just too incredible.
What is it?
A dinosaur?
Oh, my dear young man, not just a dinosaur. Tyrannosaurus rex was the king of prehistoric creatures. The most savage, monstrous, fearsome beast that ever roamed this planet of ours. With teeth like elephant's tusks, set in their mouth like a railroad tunnel, he could swallow 3 horses in a single bite. Oh, well, really, this is the most astounding discovery, if indeed it is Tyrannosaurus rex. But even so, one of his close relatives.
There's something else, Professor.
What is it?
The flesh. When we brought it up, it was, warm.
What ridiculous. How can it be warm 30 feet under the ice?
I've no idea, sir, but it was.
How warm?
3 degrees above freezing. The flesh was soft.
There must be a rational explanation. Of course. Heat from the drill.
Oh, I checked. That drill was cold. I was so curious that I had an audio sensor lowered into the hole.
What for?
I think you'd better come and listen, Professor. The heartbeats are very distinct.
Thank you. It was both astonishing and bewildering. Yet I heard those heartbeats for myself. The evidence was there, yet Professor Pine refused to accept it. We retired to a huge metal igloo that had been set up by the research team as their laboratory and living quarters.
Your suggestion is totally impossible, Rattigan.
Is it, sir? Science has proved that suspended animation is a possibility.
Well, don't quote scientific theory at me, Rattigan. Theory is all it is.
Thousands of people have had their bodies frozen in the hope that one day in the distant future, science will find a way to revive them.
Well, I am abreast of the times, you know. The fact is that science has not yet found a way. So, do we have to believe that a creature trapped in the ice 1,000 million years ago can be revived? Can't you see how absurd it is, Rattigan? Do you really think that if we release it from the ice, it will come to life and go on the rampage?
I wouldn't say it's impossible, Professor.
Well, I do. When the embalming team arrives tomorrow, we will cut it out from the glacier. I can tell by your expression that you disagree. Have you another suggestion to offer?
Yes. Leave it where it is.
Impossible.
Alternatively, cut well away from it so that it's imprisoned in a gigantic ice cube.
And then?
Study it by means of probes and sensors.
No, Rattigan. It will be done my way. 10 days from now, I want to see the carcass fully embalmed on its way to Los Angeles.
The argument went back and forth for some time, but it was obvious that Professor Pine was determined to overrule every suggestion his assistant made. Early next morning, a plane carrying a team of 20 men touched down. In addition to vast quantities of embalming equipment, they brought a battery of laser cutters. After a quick breakfast in the Metal Dome base, they went straight to work. They cut deeply into the side of the crevasse after rigging a number of platforms down the steep sides. After spending the morning at the Tundra Bay Government Clinic, Sandra and I went out with Tumar to watch the, well, I'll use the word excavation, because that's what it was. The team was cutting deep into an area the size of a soccer pitch after first cutting sloping canals to allow the melted ice to flow down into the crevasse. The air was still, but the sight was eerie to say the least. Clouds of steam rose from the laser cutters and shrouded the scene in mist. Being the discoverer of the ice entombed creature allowed me the privilege of easy access to Professor Pine, who spent most of his time darting from point to point as he waited for more detail of the creature's carcass to be revealed. His assistant, Dr. Rattigan, was less enthusiastic. The professor seems to be wildly excited about something over there.
Well, the cutters are getting close now. He's already had 8 points of identification.
How do you mean?
Well, the creature can be seen now from 8 points and has been positively identified.
It has?
Yeah. Tyrannosaurus rex, as we suggested yesterday.
Wow.
No doubt now. The head is over there, close to where Professor Pine is standing.
Huh?
Another hour and we'll be through to the water.
Well, what water?
Well, it isn't exactly solidified into the ice, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Well, to put it simply, it's in a body of water, rather like a bubble. That's because the temperature of its flesh is above freezing.
Well, how can that have happened?
I wish I knew. If I did, I'd know whether to run or stay.
Oh, you're trying to scare us, Dr. Rattigan.
Well, at this moment, a wide laser is drilling in from the side of the crevasse to a position just below the monster. When it breaks through, the water will run away and be replaced with air. That could be the interesting part.
You mean?
Oh, I don't know what I mean. Deep inside my head at this moment, there's a war going on between my knowledge and all the scientific theories.
Hello, Miss Davis, Dr. Moores.
Oh, hi there.
It won't be long now. Did Rattigan tell you the splendid news?
Yes.
It's a wonderfully preserved specimen of Tyrannosaurus rex. Oh, he's huge. So big, in fact, that we've had to extend the length of the excavation by another 30 meters. 30 meters? It's almost unbelievable that such a creature could have existed outside of a schoolboy's imagination. Oh, by the way, Rattigan, they've tapped the water and it's running away. I'm sending Henderson and his party over to the... Good heavens. Did you feel that? An earth tremor. And it's continuing.
I warn you, Professor.
Of what?
Perhaps that was all your friend down there needed. Air.
Oh, Rattigan, are you still harping on that stupid suspended animation theory? How many times do I have to explain it?
Hey! Oh, what's going on over
there? Oh, no! Oh, Ned! It's alive!
I watched in horrified fascination as the living nightmare of a billion years ago struggled to free itself. First to break through was a gigantic clawed foot the size of a London double-decker bus. It was quickly followed by a second. Men scattered in every direction as blind terror gripped them. All about, ice was cracking and heaving, as though being tossed on a stormy sea. Men fell down the rapidly appearing crevasses and were silenced. Then upreared the head. The head? It was a sight no man could forget. Its mouth was opening and closing, revealing rows of pointed teeth like tank traps. Even from where we stood, we could smell the creature's fetid breath as it growled and roared in an effort to break free of its icy prison. Others like us stood and stared from what they believed to be a safe distance. And then, in what must have been only seconds after its first appearance, its bulk rose up from the ice. Its shape was similar to that of a chameleon, and I remember wondering to myself during those terrifying moments what kind of a weapon we had to stop it. None I could think of, except for maybe an atomic bomb. It came free on its hind legs like a reptilian kangaroo. For a brief moment, it stood poised, then leaned forward and literally scooped. Yes, scooped up three men in its cavernous mouth. From that second, it was every man for himself. With Sandra clinging to my arm, I fled to where we'd left our motor sleigh. Tumar was already there, the engine running. We sped from that terrifying scene in a state of mindless panic. Our senses returned when we were 3 miles away at the foot of a tall pinnacle of black rock. Terror gave way to curiosity and disbelief. And we scrambled up the rock to see what was happening back at the excavation.
Oh, Les, what have we done?
We've done nothing. Professor Pine was warned.
Oh, you didn't believe what Dr. Rattigan said either. That day the sleigh overturned, we should have gone on our way.
Yeah, well, how was I to know?
Look what we've unleashed on the earth. It's evil.
Why couldn't it have been an ordinary dinosaur, a herbivore? Why did it have to be the most ferocious carnivore that ever existed?
May heaven help those poor men.
You said
it's not enough transport for them all to get away.
By the look of it, most of them have taken refuge in the research dome.
What's it doing now?
Well, it's just sitting there on its hind legs. It's probably just trying to orientate itself. Yeah, and look for food.
Apart from a few seals and polar bears, there's little else for it to eat in this part of the world. Except humans, of course.
That's it. That's what's bothering me, Sandra. We've got to warn the settlement and radio for help. Yeah, but who's going to believe this, I wonder?
By now, they'll have radioed in from the research dome. Our call will merely confirm. Oh, Les! Les is moving! It's moving towards the dome!
We watched helplessly, knowing that at least 40 persons had taken refuge inside the shiny steel dome. The Tyrannosaurus was so big that sitting on its haunches, it could look over the top, which is exactly what it did. For a moment, it seemed as though it would lose interest and walk away. But instead, it punched at the side with one of its immense forepaws. We saw the side of the dome crumple inwards like a balloon made from silver paper. The same paw swept sideways, almost completely demolishing the dome. Tiny figures ran out to escape, but most were scooped up or picked up to feed those mighty jaws, like jelly babies into the mouth of a hungry child. It was then that Tumar took my arm.
We must hurry if we are to warn the settlement.
That's right, Les. Rexy boy will make quick work of those 200 unsuspecting people if we don't make it snappy.
The creature might be able to move as fast as we can.
As it happened, the beast was slow in its movements.
But as we sped on the sleigh across the ice towards the settlement, we knew it was following in our wake. We had time, though precious little, to evacuate every living soul from Tundra Bay. And where could they evacuate to? There was nothing to hand that could stop or deter the monster. Our only hope, it seemed, was that our emergency signal would be picked up and acted on by the military. As we rounded the Black Rock Hill, I saw the settlement. The inhabitants were already out in the streets. They'd heard the shrieks and roars of the approaching beast. And I saw something else that could spell salvation. The ice on the bay was breaking up, and already large patches of blue sea were visible.
Tumar! Tumar, you'd better bring that headman and the thief.
No, there's no time for that, Sandra. Tumar, collect everybody together and tell them to start out across the ice floes. They must take with them every living creature they can find. Cattle, dogs, cats, rats, even mice. In less than 15 minutes, the town has got to be deserted.
It is dangerous on the floes.
It's gonna be a whole lot more dangerous standing here, pal. Tell the men with boats and kayaks to stand off and help to rescue anyone who's in danger. Now get weaving!
The settlement consisted of a huddle of some 30 wooden houses and shacks, set in a hollow only a few yards from a stony beach. One could easily walk across the ice floes, which, although being broken up by the spring thaw, was still tightly packed in most parts. The villagers were obedient to a man and followed Tumar out from the land. Reaching a particularly large, thick floe some 100 meters out, Tumar stopped and the people huddled about him. Furtive eyes turned back towards the settlement.
Oh, here he comes, Les. Oh, just take a look at the size of him.
Yeah, I know.
Say, are you sure we're safe here? A couple of bounds of that thing's going to be chewing us up.
Oh, don't worry, we're safe. Any minute he's going to see us or pick up our scent.
Oh, heck, that's what scares me.
It'll be what saves us.
He's just staring around, sort of dazed.
Hey, Tumar, let me your rifle. Good.
Thanks. You won't blow Rexy's head off with that toy.
I'll do better than that. Watch.
But you're firing in the air.
That's right. I'm doing it to attract his attention to us. Now we'll see if these things were as stupid as the scientists reckon.
Oh, holy cow! He's coming after us!
The Tyrannosaurus dropped to all fours and bounded towards us. The bay was deep, and the ice floes no more than 2 meters thick. The beast's great mouth was wide open, its tail lashing from side to side like a maddened cat. Suddenly, it wavered, and the ice floe disappeared under the weight of its forefeet. It tried to balance on its hind legs, but the ice below them, too, shattered. All support gone, it plummeted under the water, throwing ice-cold water over a large area. The nightmare was gone forever, but at the cost of 33 lives, including those of Professor Pine and Dr. Rattigan. The matter has been soft-peddled, of course, and lots of rumors denied by those in high places. But it hasn't stopped the U.S. government from sending more teams out to the area to search beneath the glacier. I wonder what they'll do if they find a whole herd of Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't want to be around if they do.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.